السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We have a very short time until Maghrib, so I thought we don't need any introductions. I'm sitting here, you guys are here already. If you don't like what I say, you can always walk off. And you're here otherwise. Him giving an introduction is not going to bring any more people here. What do you think? It's what, inshallah, Allah give us tawfiq to say the right things. Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه مباركا عليه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى جل جلاله وعم نواله والصلاة والسلام على سيد الحبيب المصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. So the format for today is that it's about marriage, right? Marriage is a very big topic. It's half of our faith. Majority of people will be married for the majority of their life. And there are so many things that can happen in a marriage. And there's a lot of ignorance about what marriage is. So, I'm going to speak for about 30, 40, 45 minutes on different aspects of marriage that come to mind that will be relevant to, inshallah, everyone. And then, what I speak about may not be relevant to you, because some of you are not yet married, some are married, and mashallah, some are veterans in marriage. Okay? I'm not going to judge any of you, you can decide what you are. I'm just mentioning that this is my observation. So, after I finish speaking, then we'll have about half an hour or more to take questions and answers. And in that time, I want you to be able to ask any question you want related to marriage. Not about buying a house on mortgage, or is vinegar halal or haram. That's not the question I'm looking for today. But anything related to marriage or divorce. When I say anything, please feel free to ask any question you want. You don't have to ask openly, you can write it down if you want to, or they'll give you a link that you can send your question, maybe even anonymously. So, any question you ask today, don't hold back. I don't have the answers to everything, but whatever we have answers to, we can discuss it. The benefit of that will be that the people who ask questions, they will ask questions relevant to an aspect of marriage. I may not cover that in a bayan. So this way it becomes more relevant, inshallah. And in this way we get more subjects covered within the topic of marriage. Okay? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. From one of the signs of Allah, as Allah says Himself, He says this is one of Allah's signs. One of His signs is that He has created for you spouses from you. Okay, meaning He has created partners for you from yourself. Allah is addressing man. That the women are created from man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam from clay. He did not have any parents. Formed the body. Shaitan came and checked it out then as well, and thought this is all hollow and empty, so I can do what I want. Refused to bow down afterwards. Angels, they did what Allah told them to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then created Hawa alayhi salam, Eve, as we say, from the ribs of Adam alayhi salam. And the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari is very clear that إِنَّ النِّسَاءَ خُلِقْنَا مِنْ ضِلَعٍ. Right? And مِنَ الضِّلَئِ أَعْلَاهُ, the women were created from the ribs of the man. Okay? And from the ribs, have you ever seen a rib cage? Do you get straight ribs? Have you ever seen straight ribs? No? What about the ones you eat? Aren't they straight? No, they even curved a bit, right? Yeah. And then the hadith says that the ribs are crooked. The ribs are curved. They're not straight. And it's a good job they're curved and not straight. What would you do with straight ribs anyway? The purpose of the ribs are to cover the heart and protect the heart. That's the rib cage. It's like this. It protects the heart. That's why it's a special design from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of the most curved ribs are the highest ones, the one at the top. And the hadith says that that's what the woman was created from. Hawa alayhi salam. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something very interesting to men. He was talking to men here. Okay. Men, at least not all men, but some men, many men, few men, they think women are weird. I don't think that because I have a wonderful experience with women, so I don't think they're weird. But some men do. That's why they make jokes about women. They make jokes about women that they can't park properly and they do this and they do that. Wallahu a'lam. Men do weird things, some women do weird things as well. Is that right? Yeah. Jazakallah for confirming. But the Prophet ﷺ said something very interesting. He said, if you try to straighten the woman, you will break her. Why? What does that mean? He said, you're going to have to benefit from her despite her crookedness. Despite, all goes back to the rib cage. The rib cage has been designed that way as a protection. A woman is a protection for a man is a protection for a woman. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahunna. They are garments for you and you are garments for them. Garments do a lot. My garment, your garments, the reason you wear them is to look good. You wear them to protect yourself, to shield yourself, to cover yourself, and multiple other things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us a lot through these metaphors, through these figurative expressions. So now, are women crooked? I mean, it sounds weird asking men, but I'm asking for the man's perspective. Are women crooked? No. The women are listening, by the way, but they don't know who's speaking. So, because constantly on WhatsApp you get all of these weird women jokes. And I look at them and I think, well, alhamdulillah, I don't have that issue. I don't know who has this issue, but whoever has the issue, poor guys, but I don't have that issue, alhamdulillah. But the Prophet ﷺ said something very interesting. He said that you men think women are crooked. He didn't say that in those words. But he said, if you think the women are crooked, that's just how they are. That's how Allah made them. You think they're crooked, but that's how Allah made them. That's how they actually are, and that's positive. But you might think something positive is negative. Right? There's a lot of things which are positive, but we just take them as negative. For example, racism. Allahu Akbar. A particular people are racist against another people. Those people they're racist against, is there anything wrong with them? No, but it's just that this group of people think it's negative. If they stop focusing on them as negative, it'll become positive. So that's what the person is saying, that if you think they're crooked in your mind, you're not going to be able to change them. That's their nature, that's how they are. And that's positive in the sight of Allah. And you want to benefit from them, you'll have to benefit from them despite how they are. Because if you try to straighten them, you try to straighten a rib, you're going to break it. So you'll have nothing left. You're going to have a broken marriage. Very, very clever, very interesting statement that the Prophet ﷺ is addressing the men and saying, you think they're crooked? They're actually not. But if you think they are, well, that's the way they are. So get used to it. In fact, in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يَفْرُقُ مُؤْمِنٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ. A man should not hate his wife. Why would you hate anybody? You know when you hate somebody? Have you ever hated anyone? If you do, if you have hated somebody, and you know, we can hate people at some times, right? If you've had that experience. Have you ever felt any hate for anything?
Yes.
Well, thanks. I mean, everybody else is like, I'm not sure. And he's like, yes, of course we have. Humans feel hate sometimes. We have to resist it. Okay? So, when you feel hate for someone, I want you to think, what do you hate? When you hate someone, think of something or that you hate. What do you hate? Every single atom of it? Every single element of it? The whole thing? Or something about it? You don't like a particular... You hate a certain car. Why do you hate it? Because of something about it. You just hate the whole car, the metal, everything. The engine, everything. You just hate every part of it. No, you hate a characteristic of it. Do you understand? You do. I mean, I know it's after... I know it's about nearly 7 o'clock on a Saturday. And, you know, you maybe have come here just to hear a straightforward bayan, but I'm making people think. My apologies for that. But just give me some reaction, because it seems like I'm not sure if you're understanding or not. Because then I'll get bored and fall asleep. So shake your head, give me a smile, cry if you want, but at least show me some reaction. Otherwise it gets a bit boring for me. Kuch samajh mein aa raha hai ki nahi? Chalo, alhamdulillah. If you don't, just put your hand up. Bhai jab, ye kuch samajh mein nahi aa raha hai. Tell us a story instead. Okay. MashaAllah, the only uncle is understanding everything. MashaAllah. Aapka kya naam uncle sahab? Ji? Ijaz sahab. MashaAllah. So, where was that? Yeah. So, what the Prophet then said is that if there's something you dislike about her, characteristic, there's going to be something else you will like. But what happens is when you start focusing on negatives in anything, the whole thing will look negative. Even if there's positives. Sometimes what we tell husband and wives when their relationship is broken down, but they have to stay together, how do they revive their relationship? We say that stop doing what you do every day for the last 30 years. Go and take a new project on and do it together. For example, if you go and volunteer with some relief organization, go and volunteer assisting poor people. You will both use newfound ideas. You will discover the qualities in both of you and look at each other in a different light. Then maybe you can mend your relationship. Because when you start not liking someone, the few qualities that are bad, they blind you to all the good qualities. This is the exact same thing with love. It's the exact same thing with love. How many young people think they've fallen in love with someone? And their parents say, you can't marry them. You can't have it. And you also know it's not going to work, but you can't get away. Have you noticed that sometimes? You want something, you want to marry someone, you want to buy something, you want something, and you're in love with, you're emotionally attached, but you can't get away. And you know you can't have it. But you can't get away. Kya kare? What do you do? So I asked a friend of mine. He's a PhD in love. He's 30 years. He's done research on love. He's got 2 PhDs in love actually. I said, what do we do if somebody falls in love with something that they can't have? How do they get away? He said, it's very simple. You start focusing on the negatives. And remember, everything in this world except Allah and His Messenger have negatives. Usme koi na koi manfi baat hogi. Everybody has defects. What happens is when you love something, it means you love some qualities, like a phone. I want that phone. Some people here, when they, you know, when they're about to get a phone, iPhones are very good. Khalas, that's it. I want an iPhone. Why do you want an iPhone for? Because it's got a status symbol. So a few qualities, and yes, they make good phones. So a few good qualities make you attracted to the whole thing. It then blinds you of its defects. That's what it does. حُبُّكَ الشَّيْءِ يُؤْمِي وَيُسِمْ The hadith says, your love of something will blind you and deafen you. You will think that's the only thing in the world. Uske alawa ko aisa kuch milega hi nahi. I get people say, I found this girl to marry. And you know what, my parents are saying, no, but I want to marry her because there's just nobody else like her in the world. Have you tried every other woman? Like, have you interviewed every other woman in the world? No. So how do you know she's the best one? There's so many fish in the ocean. Samajh mein aaya? But what do? These are human beings. We're human beings. We get caught up in these things. Okay, another point. When you're looking for anything, should you just look for one or two qualities, or should you look for a package of qualities? When you're trying to buy a car, do you just buy a car because of one quality? Or do you check the speed and how reliable it is, fuel efficiency, what it looks like, package of qualities? Oh, I'm only going to get that car because it looks really, it's electric. That's why. That's silly. Because that's not what you want from it. That's not the only thing. If people get married to their wife, to a wife, because she looks stunning, she's a, mashallah, amazingly attractive and very beautiful. That's why you get married to her. Okay. Why are you getting married though? Because what you're going to do is you're going to set up a stage in your front room. You're going to put her on there and just look at her all day long. MashaAllah, you are so beautiful. That's why you're getting married? If that's why you're getting married, then yes, that's right. Just look at the beauty. But marriage is a lot more than that, right? So, okay, she's beautiful, mashallah. Does she have the akhlaq and character to be your companion? Because that's a bigger aspect of marriage than just beauty. So always look for package deals. Do you understand package deals? Rather than just one quality. The other thing you have to do when you're looking for a spouse, and I know some of you are, mashallah, veterans in marriage, but at least you can teach your children to do this, right? Is that if I'm getting married to a woman, I want a woman who looks good. I want a woman who I have to think, is she going to help me tomorrow if I become sick? Or is she just so focused on herself and how she looks that she's going to, and so selfish that she's not going to care about me? If I need soup when I'm sick, is she going to make it for me, or do I have to order outside? When we have children, is she going to be a good mother? If my parents visit, or we visit our parents, how is she going to be with them? If we go on a holiday, what's her focus? Does she have anybody else in mind? Is she chaste? See how many things you have to think about. If a woman is getting married, she's going to have to think multiple things. Oh, he just got a lot of money. Is that right? A husband is just for spending? Spending is a big thing for husbands. One quality that you have to look for is that if a husband is stingy, then I feel sorry for that family. If the wife is stingy, I think it's okay. Kaam chalta hai. Why? Because in a traditional Muslim household, the husband is the one who is supposed to provide. If the wife is stingy, alhamdulillah, she's not going to spend much, she's going to keep saving. Then you're right. Some people, they complain about their wives that they spend too much. So we have to ask for an itemized bill every month. How much did you spend? If the husband is stingy, Ya Allah, that's aib, that's very bad. Because the Prophet also made it a sadaqah to spend on your family without doing israf. But he made it sadaqah. If I spend on my family and I spend on the poor, I get reward here as well. You don't just get sadaqah for poor people spending, but on your family as well, within reason. Once a woman called me. She said, my husband is very, 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 very stingy. What do you mean by that? Because sometimes they might exaggerate. Give me an example. She said that the furniture is very old in the house. Purana furniture. You understand Purana? Yeah. So, I said, what do you mean? I mean, how old is it? Oh, the doors are about to come off. They're just about surviving and so on and so forth. Well, let me talk to your husband. So he called the husband on the phone. I said, she's saying that you're very stingy and your furniture is very, very old. How old is it? He said, it works. Kaam chal jata hai. Another of her complaints was that she became a bit healthy, so she wanted organic milk. Organic milk cost like 50-60 pence more than normal milk. So I said to her husband, I told her wife to go. I said, look, you might not be able to buy new furniture now. She said, he has money, but he just hoards it. I said, look, how much milk do you use in a week? This much. I said, it's only going to cost you, I think it was 60, 70 pounds maybe, in a whole year, if you buy organic milk instead of that. Bas ladai khatam karo, man. Just buy the milk. Samajh mein aaya? So, these are characteristics we have to look at each other. Now, how is that relevant to married people? The way this is relevant to married people is if we have these problems, we better sort them out because it's caused a problem in our marriage and we can rectify it before it's way too late. Anger is another problem. If you have an anger problem, it's going to cause a problem in any of your relationships. Anger is disastrous. Anger is like fire. Anger is from the shaitan. And fire is, you can't trust fire, you can't control fire. It goes anywhere. When a person gets angry, I get a call. Sheikh, I've got a question. What's the question? I just divorced my wife 3 times. I said, mashallah. Why? Nay, I didn't have an intention to do that, whatever. I just got very, very angry and she kept asking for it. Tabas laga diya. I go, look, you shoot somebody 3 times and it's like, oh, I didn't understand. Ki wo se wo mar jayega. Is that kind of a thing? Don't ever give 3 divorces. Ek mein pura kaam chal jata hai. You want to really divorce your wife? Divorce her, no problem. But just give 1 divorce. Over a cup of coffee or chai. Otherwise, people go crazy. 3 talaqs. 3 talaq means you can't ever be together again unless she marries someone else and gets divorced from him. Why do you want to do 3 for? Haram. 3 is haram. 1 is more than enough. But unfortunately, many of our culture thinks that 3 hi dena hai. Uske bagair kaam nahi chalega. Man, 1 is enough. 1 is enough. Then after that, you don't have to be with her again if you don't want to. She can marry someone else. Literally, people, I've only given 1. I need to give 2 more for her to be complete. No, she's finished. But at least if you want to, you can reconcile. So remember one thing. We have to improve ourselves to be the right person. Otherwise, we might have, let's just say some people have been married for 10 years and they've managed to pull through, but they've got issues. I'm in a position where people call me, I've written a book on marriage and I've been married for 28 or 29 years. So I've had a lot of experience with marriage now. And people, they do so-called sabr, sabr, sabr. But after 20 years, khatam. It becomes too much. I've seen how it becomes worse. There's a woman, she used to call me 7, 8 years ago. She had some problems in her marriage. And I said, look, you need to take a stance, get somebody else involved and do something about it. But she says, I'm too scared. I'm too scared. He might just divorce me. I said, then don't complain, carry on. If you're going to complain, I'm going to tell you what to do, but then that might risk a divorce. It's a risk, but there's no other way. Because she's saying, he's so stubborn, he's this, he's that, you know. So I said, okay, fine. 2 years later, she calls again, the situation is worse. Again, I tell her, look, you're going to have to take a stand. No, mujhe bahut dar lag raha hai. I said, then carry on. Sabar karo phir. Because the solution is not easy. They call ulama thinking, hum koi jadu chalayenge, sara theek ho jayega. It doesn't happen that way. And it only gets worse. It only gets worse. Mark my word. If you don't do something radical to change the situation, it will only get worse. It's a simple reason it'll get worse. Then she calls again after 2 years. Now they're not even sleeping together. Again, she's still not willing to take. She just calls to let off her steam and, you know, just feel good. But we can't go in and sort it out, can we? You know, because you can't go in like just tell the husband off and he's going to listen to you. You can't do that. There's nothing else like that. The last time she called, now she's asking that if we do get divorced, who gets the house and so on. They've got to that stage now. I've seen too many of these cases. And others, they just divorce, finish. Why would you want to do that? Sort it out from the beginning. That's why one advice I will give everybody, especially newly married couples, is that get help sooner than later. Get help sooner than later. Don't be ashamed that isko pata chalega, he's going to find out, she's going to find out. Man, everybody's going to find out when you get divorced or when you have big fights. And it's going to make it miserable for your children. That's the worst part of it. The most important relationship is not the child and parent relationship, it's the husband and wife relationship. They make the house a paradise or a hell. Because if the husband and wife are, mashallah, going on very well, they can do tarbiyat of the children. Otherwise, the children know who to go to because they're at conflict. The children will do bad because they'll use either one, again, you know, to their favor. And the parents will do that with the children. Right? So, what spoils a marriage? What we need to correct within ourselves. If I have an anger problem, I better sort it out. How do I sort out an anger problem? There's a few ways to sort out anger. Has anybody got an anger problem here? I'm going to put my hand up. Okay, mashallah, just us two. Alhamdulillah. Oh, mashallah, three. Us three. Nobody else has got an anger problem. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. To some extent, good. Mashallah. The first step is to recognize I've got a problem. I genuinely had an anger problem. All my brothers and sisters knew it. Very simple to test. Are you the one who kind of gets riled up and angry quicker than your brothers and sisters? You get excited faster than them. Yes, well, usme fayda bhi hai, that you're the one who'll get jobs done sometimes, but there's a nuksan in it as well. Let me tell you something else. Allah has created every single human being with two sets of qualities. One is positive qualities, capabilities, and one set of weaknesses. Every single human being. So let's just take a family. They've got three or four children. Those three, four children are all going to be different. Okay? They're never going to be all the same. That's just Allah's design. One of them, if we have to go out, one of them will be ready 5 minutes before and waiting. Second one, he'll be ready just on time. The third one, he'll still be in the toilet. You'll have to wait for him. I'm not judging who you are, which one you are, right? I only know myself, but you can decide where you are. One of them will be smarter than the other ones. One will be more business-minded than the other one. One will be generous, more generous than the other. One will share their last sweet, and another will have a whole package and they won't share. Right? La ilaha illallah. One will get more angrier than others. One will be a bit more lazier than the others. Yes, sara hota hai. And that's fine. You're not sinful for that. That's how Allah created us. But we have to control ourselves. What Allah wants from us is find your qualities, good ones, and use them. And find your weaknesses and control them. Most people who are successful in this life, meaning they are settled, they discovered their qualities, but not everybody acknowledges their weaknesses to do something about it. So that's why when I say, who's got an anger problem? And you put your hand up, that's the first step. If we can't even accept that I've got an anger problem, I can't sort it out. So how did I sort myself out? Alhamdulillah, my wife, Allah bless her, she knew, very patient and had to. But I benefited from the writings of Imam Ghazali and our Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi. The verses of the Quran, the Hadith, and so on. And like, it had me thinking all the times, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Those who control their anger, I always feel guilty. So slowly, slowly, alhamdulillah, it's helped. Number two, if you have a serious anger problem, you can take an anger management course. And do it online, anonymously. You don't have to tell anybody you're doing it. It's for our own benefit, because anger is causing problems with our neighbors. Anger will cause problems with your colleagues, with your workers, with your boss, with everybody. Because you just get angry. We have to learn to control it, channel it. Okay, so anger was one of them. Another one was, is there anybody who's sensitive here, cries easily, gets emotional, I'm going to stop talking to you because you upset me. Anybody sensitive? I'm not going to vote because I'm not like that. Okay, one, two. And there'll be some sisters who are like that. I can't see them. But so that's going to cause a problem. There's one couple who got married. Now, this girl who got married, she didn't have a father-in-law, only had a mother-in-law. They used to live together. Every 2 days or 3 days, the mother-in-law gets upset and stops talking to her for 2 days. So every few days, 2 days, no talking. How can you live like that? As he guesses, zindagi guzare. So, but if you do get sensitive, what do we do about it? So, when you feel like crying, when you get sensitive, I'll give you two things. Number one, get a translation of the Quran. I see, mashallah, you have lots of translations of the Quran here. And start reading it. Every time you feel emotional, start reading the Quran with meaning, and you will find places to cry. But they will be crying now for a good reason instead of just feeling sorry for yourself. People who cry very easily, and often people stop feeling sorry for them, woh hamesha ro raha hota hai. So kya kare? You understand? That's number one. Number two, when you feel like crying and you can't read the Quran at that time, that's fine. Just put your hands up to Allah and cry to Allah. At least there'll be a benefit. Otherwise, aap mufme roenge. You'll be crying for free. And there's people who, on the 27th night of Ramadan, they're trying to cry and they can't cry. And mashallah, aap to rote rehte. MashaAllah, nice quality of Allah gave you. Use it in the right way. Channel it in the right way. You know what they say about people who cry easily? Where it came from. Imagine a 2-year-old boy or girl. 2-year-old, baby. And their older brother or sister took their toy from them. What will that 2-year-old do? They're going to cry. Why do they cry? What do they get out of crying? The mom's going to come running. Psychologists say that the reason why people still cry when they're older is they have not grown up. They're still waiting for their mom to come. They haven't grown up and learned to deal with it themselves. They're hoping somebody's going to help them. Nobody's going to help you now except Allah. What I'm trying to say is that there's a solution for all of this. One woman that I know, she was going to get married. She had a sensitivity issue. Not sensitivity issue. Sensitivity and anger together. So if anybody upset her, she would be upset for 24 hours. She wouldn't talk to anybody. She'd just be silent. Now, if you get married and you do that to your husband, ya Allah, what kind of relationship? Alhamdulillah, she realized. So mashallah, she saw a Muslim psychologist, a Muslim therapist. She had several sessions. Alhamdulillah, people around her saw the change in her. They saw afterwards that certain things happened, but now she didn't get sensitive. She carried on. Sometimes all of this could be because of some trauma of the past, some event of the past. You just have to. And one of the biggest needs of today, if anybody's looking for a job, is for men and women, we need to become therapists. Because mental health issues, these are mental health issues, they are increasing in our community. And there are therapists out there, but they're not culturally aware. They don't understand Punjabi culture, or Mirpuri culture, or Muslim culture. We need people who are aware of this and can help you and assist you. So get help sooner than later. Okay, that's one set of points. What else is a challenge in marriage? In-laws are a challenge in marriage. And the biggest responsibility in this is the husband's. Because usually the woman moves over to the man's house. Hamare culture mein aisa hota hai. In Malaysian culture and Sri Lankan culture, the man moves into the woman's house. I found that very strange when I first saw that. The person invited me in Sri Lanka. I said, who's that? He goes, it's my father-in-law's house. What are you doing here? Because I'm sochte ki ye kaisi baat hui, like, you know, you're seeing it. He said, yeah, this is the culture here. Then I thought about it. I said, ye to bahut achha culture hai. Why? Because it's the daughter is living with her mum.
वहां कौन सा झगड़ा होगा? समझ में आया?
The son-in-law doesn't, he can save money. They stay for like 2 years, they save money, and then they buy their own house and they move out. And the mother is able to train her daughter ke biryani is tarah banai jati hai, you know. So I thought that was really cool, but that's not going to change in our culture very soon, because it's looked down upon. Ab ghar jamai ban gaye, you know. But anyway, in our culture, it's the other way round, which is that the wife comes to the husband's house, his mum and dad are there, and his mum and dad want her to serve them. MashaAllah. Women should serve. It's not obligatory, wajib bhi nahi unke upar, but they should do this khidmat and live as a happy family. But the biggest problem with this is that some of our parents, they want the khidmat, but they don't know how to bring the love. So they treat them like some stranger. They just make them do the work. They have no patience with them. And they show favoritism with their own daughters against their daughter-in-law, but they want their daughter-in-laws to do the khidmat. Yeh kaise hoga? Just akal se socho, bhai. They do dhulm on them and expect them to do, kya kehte hai? Not nafarman. But what's the opposite of nafarman? Farma Bardar. They are not going to be... Do you know what Farma Bardar means? Okay, cool. Yes, obedient. But they're not helping them. They're not creating the environment for that. They show no love. And then they want their khidmat. It doesn't work that way. Uske upar zaruri bhi nahi hai. They're not even sinful for not serving you. Do you understand? But if the parents are loving... Now sometimes daughter-in-laws are a bit weird as well. Most of the time it's the mother-in-law, father-in-law who are the problem causers. But sometimes it's the daughter-in-law. Sometimes. But it's really weird. Ye jo mother-in-law jo hoti hai, usko kya hai, the saas. And then you have the daughter-in-law, what's that? Bahu. Saas and bahu.
Saas.
Not saans.
No saas.
Yes, saas. Yeah, saas. And bahu. I don't really use those words too much, but this mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, agar unko alag se dekha jaye, you look at the sas with her group of women friends, she is perfectly fine. Nobody will complain about her. The daughter-in-law with her group of friends, no complaints. Put the two together, pata nahi kya hota hai. There's a psychology behind this. The mother-in-law thinks, I have brought my son up and now you're stealing him from me. It's psychological. Maine uski parvarish ki, tu usko le gayi. He listens to you now. It's this psychological competition this comes about. Very dangerous. So, you ask her, the mother-in-law, why do you do this? Why do you do dhulm on your daughter-in-law? I'm doing exactly what my mother-in-law did to me. That's my sunnah. Uski sunnat hai, main bas wahi usi sunnat pe hu. Okay, go to her mother-in-law. Why did you do it? Because my mother-in-law did that to me. Now her mother-in-law is in the grave, so you go to the grave and you say, why did you do that to her? Because my mother-in-law did that to me. Where did it start? Who started this off? Hawa alayhi salam? She was the first mother-in-law, wasn't she? Is she the first one to start this zulm off? No, I don't think so. Kaheen is started somewhere. So change it now. You start a new sunnat. You be different. It doesn't matter what my mother-in-law did, I'm going to be different. And this is where you bring culture. Ye culture jo cheez hoti hai na, it's a very powerful thing. Is there anybody here who's not into culture? MashaAllah, one guy. Only one guy. Anybody else? Everybody else is cultural? Yeah? It's not a trick question. It's a serious question. Anybody else not into culture? Well, you? Okay, you want to become Pakistani culture or something? You leave the Gujarati culture? Yeah? Look, you can't escape culture. Insan culture se alag nahi ho sakta hai. You can't. Anybody who says, I'm not cultural, you don't know what you're talking about. Right? Why? Because a human being, the way he eats, the way they dress, The way they behave, that's culture. And everybody has to eat, drink and behave. That's culture. Yes, if I'm Gujarati, I might not like some aspects of Gujarati culture. I don't want to be cultural. What culture am I taking? I'll just take another culture. Simple as that. Now, what is our culture in this country? Many people think that hum Punjabi hai, hamara culture Punjabi hai. Is it? Is that what your children think? Your children eat fish and chips. Is that Punjabi?
No.
They eat pizza, pasta. They drink iron brew. That's not Punjabi. Punjabi is like lassi, man. You know, and parathe. Yeah, they have parathe as well. What is the culture of our new generation here? What is their culture? It's a mixed culture. I was born in England. What is my culture? I'm supposed to be Gujarati. What is Gujarati about me? This pagadi and topi is Turkish. This is Indian. It's not Gujarati, it's from Bangalore. This is Pakistani. This jubba is Saudi. The watch is Japanese. The pen is American. What is Gujarati? We eat hummus in the house. We have lentil soup from Syria. We have, Moroccan tagine at home. And we have dar chawal and kari khichdi. No, not into sushi. I did have some in Japan last year, but not into sushi. You understand? We're getting our culture is Islamic culture. Because mashallah, every one of our cultures has good things in there. Punjabi culture, Pathan culture, Saraiki culture, Gujarati culture, Bangladeshi culture. Everything, all Muslim cultures have good points. Let me ask you, do they also have some bad points as well? Right? Most people here, Punjabi or Mirpuri?
Mix.
Is there any bad points in Punjabi, Mirpuri culture?
Yes.
There has to be. Everything. Because we're human beings, that's why. When you go back to Pakistan, don't you look at some things that, man, hum Scotland mein aisa nahi karte. Like, ye kya kar rahi hai? You know, even though that's where we came from. You understand? So what is our culture? Hamara culture kya hai? Yes, it's predominantly Punjabi, predominantly Bangladeshi, predominantly Algerian. But, mashallah, we can take the good of the other cultures around. We can take the best of the British culture. There's some very good points in British culture. How do we decide what's good and bad, though? We learned that from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Islamic culture. For example, you go to somebody's house. Would you like some tea? This is one culture. Would you like some tea? So, sharam mein you say first, nay, nay, nay. They say, okay, fine, no problem. Oh no, man, I wish I said yes. Samajh mein, that's one culture. They ask you, bila takallu, would you like some tea? No, okay, no problem. Hum aapko, you know, I'm not going to force you. Another culture, they will put the food in your plate and force you and embarrass you to eat it, and it doesn't matter if you have a stomachache afterwards, you have to eat their food. One friend of mine was half Egyptian, half Palestinian in Egypt. He went to a friend's house. He had already eaten, but the friend was about to eat. He said, you have to eat with us. He said, no, I've already eaten. Kept insisting. Finally, his friend said, if you don't eat, my wife is divorced. Alhamdulillah, hamare yahan aisa garbar nahi hota hai, right? But that's what they do, all of these qasams. Right? My wife is divorced. So, agar wo Pathan ka bachcha hota, main to Pathan ka bachcha, main to nahi khaunga. Then maybe he would have, pata nahi, you know? Jazakallah. So, the best culture in this, that we learn from Ibrahim alayhi salam, is koi aapke ghar pe aaye, don't ask them anything, jo hazir ho samne rakh do. Here you go. Please eat. Thoda sa encouragement kar diya, wo khaye khaye, na khaye, it's okay. You don't have to keep asking, khana hai aapko, hoping he says no. This is what you call culture. Our culture needs to be Islamic. Yes, we are predominantly Punjabi culture, predominantly Gujarati. But Islam is what we take the good and bad from. In the way we dress, in the way we do things. And Islam says you need to treat your mother-in-law well, and you need to treat your daughter-in-law well. So in-laws is a big issue. Money matters is another issue. And thirdly, because I want to leave it for questions for you, what time is Maghrib, Isha? Oh, so we still got some time. Sorry? Oh, it's okay. Yeah. So, where was I? Money, yeah. Another big issue, and that's why we said don't have children here, but I'm going to have to talk in veiled language now since we do have some children. You're not a child, are you? No. We have a little brother here, mashallah. How old are you? Is intimacy issues. That's a really weird word. You don't have to worry about that. It's this really weird word. It's like this special computer game that husband and wives play. Right? It's only for adults. It's not for children. So intimacy issues. This is a major issue. And I'm going to speak in veiled language. Some men are very selfish. But it has to be said. And it's not sharam ki baat nahi hai, because this is causing so many issues. Many couples come, they have an issue, this is a problem. When I look at those problems, they're all surface problems. They're not deep problems, they got such a big larai over this, or big problem over this. So I said, no, that doesn't make sense. This is not why you should be disputing and having such a big problem because of these small issues. It doesn't make sense. But they find it difficult to say. So it's because they're not satisfied. Either the wife is playing too hard to get, or the husband is very selfish and doesn't know how to satisy. He doesn't know how to play the game properly. He just thinks of winning himself. He doesn't let the wife win. It's a really cool game. Right? You can play it when you grow up. Okay? Because some men, and in Islam, alhamdulillah, if you look at our kitabs, they explain what the husband should do, how they should play this game. How it should be done. It's all mentioned. According to a friend of mine, and I've written about this in my book, you can read more about that in detail there, is that the man should let his wife win twice before he wins once. Then they'll be satisfied. Otherwise, so many men complain that the women are not willing to play the game with them. Why not? Oh, they say, uske baad phir wo ghusl karna padega, ye karna padega, wo karna padega. So I tell them, it's because usme unko koi fayda nahi milta hai. You're just using them. Because you just apni khahish ko pura karte and you don't worry about them. Because you don't even know how to do it. You're selfish. And then they realize. And so many women are frustrated. I'm not joking. I've had 3 women call me in last year. That I can just remember that this is the issue, what should I do? He just doesn't want to play the game. I have to force him once a month to play the game, but then it's against my izzah to ask. So these are lots of issues. Another issue is addictions. Especially today, this has become a big one. Addiction to anything. It could be addiction to football. So even though the guy is married, he still likes to play football or watch football and neglects his wife. Or she's addicted to WhatsApp or Pakistani drama. I just need to watch one more. I'll be with you. I'll be khana pakaungi. I just need to watch the next one. These are all addictions. And then if you're into English, it's the Netflix. And if you're a bit religious, then you might be into Usman or this other Turkish drama. Right? In fact, I tell ulama, because I have experienced this myself, that even if you're an alim and you like to do a lot of study and mutala of your kitabs, and you're neglecting your wife, that's not right. You have to give attention after you're married, until you get smooth and the sailing goes well. Okay, let's talk about this. How long do you think it takes for a husband and wife to become kashti achhi tarah se chal pare? How long do you think, how many months or years does it take for a husband and wife to get to know one another, to to have less arguments and friction and problems, and now it becomes more comfortable. How many years? Or how many months? For those who are married, tell me.
Five.
Okay, maybe five. Okay. Anybody else?
2 years.
2 years. Good. MashaAllah. Of course, it definitely depends. I'm just the range. I need a range. What do you think?
7 months.
Kidna?
7 months.
Wow. How long have you been married for? 13 months.
13 years.
Oh, 13 years. MashaAllah, 7 months. That's very good. That's very good. Yeah. Yes. Anybody else? I think it's an average, as you said, it depends. But I think it's anywhere between 1 to 3 years. So that's why I thought 7 months is very good. Right? That means 1 year to 3 years. Why? Why does it take so long? Very simple logic. If we're getting married to somebody who is independent, she has her own ideas. As a man, I've got my own ideas. She has her own likes and dislikes. The way she likes to do things, the way what she prefers, what she likes, what she doesn't like, where she likes to go. It's going to take us so many months to have all of those experiences to get to understand what we both like and dislike. Now, if any one of us are stubborn, if both are stubborn, there's going to be a conflict, because she's going to say, I want blue paint. I want green paint. You can't have blue and green at the same time, can you? What is the mixture of blue and green? Is it purple? Brown? Yeah, maybe it's a brown. But they're not happy with brown. You understand? Now, if you are willing to negotiate, okay, that's fine. This room will be blue and this one will be green. Okay, mashallah. You happy with that? Or let us let our friend decide. Kuch na kuch you'll have to do. So that you've gone over that. Then you're going to visit your parents' house. How long to stay? What to do? You're going to learn about. Then you're going to go for a holiday. You're going to have to learn where she likes to stay, what activities she likes to do. You're learning. And if you're flexible, you're both adjusting to one another. Then you're going to go for Umrah. Which hotel to stay at, when to go for this, when to go for that, when to do ziyarah, what to eat, which hotel to go. You're going to learn that. Next time you go for Umrah, you already know. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then you go for Hajj, that's a bigger issue. Hajj is a very stressful time. I would never say, don't ever go for Hajj for your honeymoon. It's too stressful. It's not the right time for a honeymoon. Okay? You understand? Then you're going to have a child. Subhanallah. That is one of the biggest... Sometimes marriages go very well. You have a child and then the husband thinks the wife is ignoring him. Because naturally her whole focus goes on the child. Unless she knows. So she makes an effort to focus on the husband along with the child. Because she knows that's an issue. Because that's going to be an issue. And second child, third child. Do you understand? All of these things are going to happen in life. So I think it takes 2 to 3 years to have enough new experiences and different things to figure all of this out. Then you might buy a new house. That's a very stressful time. But alhamdulillah, in 2-3 years, if you're flexible, you're going to overcome all of this and get adjusted. Then it'll only become easier over time. So what should our perspective be? Our perspective needs to be that I'm not going to try to win every battle. If the husband thinks, har jang ko mujhe jeetni hai, like I have to win every battle, he's gonna lose the long war. They're both going to lose. Nobody can win in this case. You either both win or you both lose. Just remember, in marriage, husband or wife cannot win alone. Usme koi, there's no benefit in that. You're all going to lose. So you both win or you both lose. So we have to think, I have to think, okay, this issue has come up. How should I think about it? I want to deal with it in a way that I'm still together 10 years afterwards and 20 years afterwards. We want to bring some children into this environment. Why do I want it to be toxic? Unless you have a mental health problem. If you have a mental health problem, which one? You're narcissistic. I know this is a modern word, narcissistic. Lots of wives want to call their husband narcissistic. Lots of husbands want to call their wife narcissistic when you find out they're actually not narcissistic. There's a lot of misdiagnosis. Narcissistic, what is that? It's somebody who always thinks they're right. They always want their way and nobody else can be right. Is there anybody like that here who's always right? Can never be wrong. Because I'm still looking for somebody like that. Because I know there was one person before who was like that. He's come and gone. I'm looking for another person. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always right. Divinely protected and guided. I'm waiting for somebody after him. Anybody? Do you know anyone? But there's a lot of people who think they're right. Listen, if you're a specialist in something, do we have any specialists in anything here? Like a good mechanic or good at something. Anybody? What's he good at? He's good at project management, right? So, mashallah, he's very admiring of you, mashallah. He's very good, mashallah. Allah keep that. So, you could be very good at project management and you will be right most of the time if you're an expert in it. But you will always be sometimes wrong. You're a BMW mechanic. You know BMWs very well. Most of the time, you're going to be right in your diagnosis. Sometimes you're going to be wrong though. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ Before, above every knowledgeable person, there's a more knowledgeable person. It's just you have to be humble enough to think that, okay, I could be wrong. That's why this husband and wife relationship, you have to think long term. What is the impact of this in 10 years? We get bad advice sometimes. There's somebody I know, young guy who just got married. His uncle told him, he said, make sure that you make her make proper desi tea for you twice a day. Even if you don't want to drink it, get it and spill it away, but at least usko adat pad jayegi. Man, the guy doesn't even want to drink tea. Why are you telling him to make her make tea for? Maybe he likes coffee. Sometimes people give you weird advice like that. Okay, so this was quite a few different points. Most of what I've spoken about is not in my book. This is extra stuff. But now I'm going to open it up to you to ask any questions. Do you have questions already? How do you go about finding somebody? Allahu Akbar. Finding someone is find that uncle or auntie in the community who has all the algorithms in their head. Ke Palakshil ke andar ye ek ladki hai and in
Ibrox
there's that guy and mashallah I think. You know, find that auntie. There must be some auntie here like that who knows everything. That's how it used to be. Bichari ye sari auntiyan ye khatam ho gayi. Because usme ek badnami ho gayi bhi. So you have to go to these apps and pay for them to do the matching for you now. Actually, the way to do it is very simple. Well, keep your eyes open. Tell your parents. Tell your teachers. Tell your friends. Look out for somebody who's decent. There must be some decent person walking around now. People tell me, I've been looking for 10 years, I can't find someone. It's like, what are you looking for? There's no decent people. Koi mil nahi raha hai. Are you too specific, too particular? So that's the way. You find out and then after that you have a list of qualities you're looking for. Now make sure that list of qualities is not very strict, otherwise you may be looking for a very long time. So have two or three points that are like very important for you and then the others which are good. And then adjust your points as you go along. I'll give you an example. There's a girl, she was looking to get married. So the parents, they showed this one guy to her, who mashallah had a good job. And they first showed her one guy who had a good job, but was very busy. He was working in the daytime, he was studying in the evening, he was teaching in the weekend. She thought, he's just too busy, man. And showed another person. He's also got a decent job. He's got his own apartment. But then when she went to meet him, she felt that he did not have enough of a character to lead. And I'll give you one advice. Women, always find a husband who can lead. Because if you find a husband who is weak, then you're going to suffer. Especially if you're very on the ball. You're just, in Islam, because the husband is the responsible one. So he has to be the have leadership qualities to lead the way. Not to be a dictator. Not to control things and just tell everybody to serve him. But to lead the way. To make the right decisions. And in the relationship you have, it's very important for a girl to respect her husband. If you can't respect him, your marriage is probably going to be destroyed. You have to build respect. So in terms of qualification or whatever it is. Very important, that is. So, ask people around you, and then give yourself a certain time limit. The longer you wait, the good people will be taken away. So if I'm a guy, I'm looking for a girl, the good girls, the good will go quickly. And I may have ignored them because they didn't fulfill all the five qualities I wanted, but now 10 years later I'm thinking, man, the four qualities were fine, I should have just done it. So don't be too particular, because as you get older, you become more particular. But the amount of people who are available get lesser. So it works against you. And then make lots of dua to Allah to give you the right person. Make mashura with your parents in advance that this is the kind of person I'm looking for. If you're from a culture where you've already been promised to your cousin from 5 years ago and you didn't even know, then I feel sorry for you. Have you been promised? You don't know. Allahu Akbar. If you are a parent and you want your child to marry somebody, your brother's daughter or whatever, bring it up way in advance on zehn sazi kare. And mashallah, if it works, alhamdulillah. If it doesn't work, then change your mind. Otherwise, you're going to put them through hell. One woman she called, she's 40 years old. She was about 40 years old. She asked me a question about namaz or something. You know, a person, jo paband ho, they'll ask that kind of a question. Is my namaz broken, this, that, and the other, right? So I thought then eventually she said, I'm married to a non-Muslim. This didn't make sense. She's asking me about a particular issue of namaz, but she's married to a non-Muslim. She goes, long story, when I was younger, my parents forced me to marry my cousin or something. And I lost my faith. And I just went and married a non-Muslim. Now I'm coming back. Because they believe, they will think that the religion is telling their parents to do that. It's culture, it's not religion. Religion in Hanafi madhab, you can't force your daughters to marry anyone. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why be very careful with that. If you want your daughter or your son to marry somebody, bring it up 5 years in advance or have the discussion. If you can prepare them and they're acceptable, alhamdulillah. If not, then at least you will understand what they want and you can at least find somebody that you're both happy with. And for those of you whose parents want them to marry someone, give it a go. Try it. Get married, but at least consider it. Don't be against someone just because your parents suggested it. Some children are like that. If your parents want to buy this color dress, they buy another color dress. So some parents eventually, they got a bit wise. So when they wanted to buy the red one instead of the blue, and say, no, buy the blue one, so she'll go and buy the red one, which they wanted her to buy. Right? It doesn't happen all the time. So these are some of the ways to do it. Okay, we'll give shorter answers because we've only got some time. Yes. I've already answered that right now. It's like I knew that was coming up. Yeah, don't give me questions that we've already answered. Yeah. Mawlana Saif al-Islam sahab.
And the one from Mufti Ibn Adam. That is two books.
Mufti Ibn Adam. That's the red one. Okay.
Yeah.
I would say look at my book, because my book is not like, it's a practical book based on anecdotes and practical suggestions. And then before we published it, we got 20 people to read it, mostly women. And that was alimas and common people and some medical people. Why? Because I wanted it to be relevant to men and women. I'm a man, never been a woman and never will be a woman. But I wanted women to read it so that they can also give me feedback, and we adjusted accordingly. So a lot of people have found it benefit, because it's not like ye farz hai, ye wajib hai, these are hukuk. I don't deal with it like that. I deal with it on a practical level, and we bring the hadith in there to bring that. Other books, men are from Mars and women are from Venus. This is a good book. Because one of the biggest things that men don't understand is women are very different from men. And women don't understand that men are very different as a species, very different. Yes, we're both human beings. For example, women will like to speak about their issues. So the husband comes home from work and she just starts talking about her issues. Men don't understand. They say, no, 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 no. They're not asking for anything. You just hold a hand and just listen. Ha, ha, bilkul, theek hai, yes, oh, it's really sad, yes, that's awful. Yeah, that's all they want. They just want to vent. Husbands, they come home from work, they've had a tough day, they just want to relax for a while. Then they'll talk. The wife will say, what's wrong with you, man? You've been out for 7-8 hours, and you don't even want to talk to me. Man, just give him some time, man. 10 minutes. Chai isko pilao. No. So when women and men don't know, for example, the men here, do you know that once a month, women can start acting out of character? Do you know that? Yeah. You won't know that. Right? Women start, they were completely fine yesterday, or today they just start being very, very moody. Kya hua? Why? What did they eat yesterday? Why are they like that? Tell me. What's the reason? PMT. Premenstrual tension. Just do sabr for a day more, one more day, and then it'll all be over. Unfortunately, men don't understand that. Their wives start acting a bit out of character, so they start getting angry and it becomes a big war. Now if you know that it's most likely this, may thoda sabr kar le, after 1 or 2 days it'll be fine. And you look back and laugh at it. It doesn't happen to every woman, it happens to some women. It's hormonal. And there are therapies for this, there are natural supplements you can take for this that regulate your hormones. That's one of the first challenges men are going to have in terms of mood swings and emotion. And again, that's just natural in a woman. They need that hormonal thing because they're the ones who have children, and you know, they're a much more complex system women have. Number two, when they have a child, they might have postnatal depression. And you're like, I don't know this woman anymore. She was such a, you know, like this, that and the other. Now, again, you're going to have to do sabr. It doesn't happen to every woman, but it happens to some women. Number three, I didn't even notice when I wrote my book. And then a friend who's older than me said, do you know anything about menopause? I was like, no, I don't. Allahu Akbar. When the women become about 40, after 45, 48, 49, perimenopause, premenopause. And there's a lot of help out there, but sometimes the women don't want to accept that they've got an issue. There are, again, an imbalance in hormones. And there's a lot of good therapies now out there. And the husband is like, what's happened to my wife? She wants a divorce now. It's just hormonal issues. If you're aware of this stuff, it just makes life easier. Okay? Men are very different from women. Women need to understand men. You know how? And you know, the woman who's successful is the one who's understood the man, and she uses her feminine power with this man. All right? And if women try to be like men, it doesn't work. But when women are women, mashallah, they can, because that's the design of Allah for men to be with women like that. That's what they appreciate. Yes, brother.
In terms of arguments, they're both, there's a couple, and they both give each other silent treatment. What's the best way, or what's certain framework?
Yeah. Use? So there's a couple that they have an argument, and then they start giving silent treatment to one another. So I'm going to say they're very lazy. It's so easy to just say, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. That's lazy.
make a decision that from now on, when we have an issue, we're going to sit like adults and speak about it without getting emotional. We're going to speak about it and try to resolve it. Yes, the first few times it's going to be difficult. You might get defensive. Stop being defensive. Remember, you have to win the longer war, not this battle here. Do sabr. Be flexible. Be tolerant. Be selfless. And slowly, slowly, you'll stop giving one another the silent treatment and you'll resolve it. So sit on the table and resolve it rather than silent treatment. Because all you're doing in the silent treatment is you're hoping it's going to blow away. All you're doing is you're burying it. But eventually you'll bury so many problems that it'll all come out eventually. And that's the problem. So communication. Very important. Now sometimes it's very difficult for people to communicate. So what I suggest, and it works very well for many people, is that if the other person is too defensive, you try and they just write to them. And then leave the house and let them read it. Whether that be a letter or a message, an email, or a long WhatsApp message. Send it to them when you're not there. So, aram se padh le, and think over it. And if they have any anger, it calms down by the time you come. Be conciliatory, you know. That helps a lot as well. And if that doesn't work, you need to get somebody else involved sooner than later. Somebody non-biased, not your mum. Most of the time, mums are biased. Allah bless them. Right? But they're biased most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time. Find somebody who's objective, who can talk to both of you. But try it yourself first. Communication, very important.
There are numerous apps and platforms. Is it permissible for a person to go on there?
Okay, is it permissible for people to use these apps and platforms to find a suitable spouse? You can go there to find a suitable spouse, not for window shopping. Right? Now, I can't say all of the apps, because I've hardly used any of them, but I've just heard that there are some good ones. So there are those which are eye candy. They're just there to have a good time. And then there are some that are more, mashallah, serious. It's just the means. Is it halal? Well, if you're not doing anything haram on there, it's fine. Right? Haram is what you would do. Apps can't be haram, but what's on there could be haram for you. If you're just going on there, you've got these stunning women that they put up there for a man, that's going to be an issue. But if it's like sunnah nikah or something, they've got these specific ones that are more decent, then use those.
People are in situations where they have their nikah then and they have to wait 6 months to a year. Is that Islamic or not?
People get married, nikah ho jata hai, and then after that they do rukhsati after 7 months, a year, whatever. Is that allowed or not? Well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got married to Aisha radiallahu anha 3 years before her rukhsati was done. So there's nothing non-sunnah about this. But remember, she was very young. I discourage this today. For adults to do this. Prophet did it for a very particular reason. Why do I discourage it? Because when husband and wife get married, you've got a taste of one another. You're going to have a relationship. You want to talk to one another, right? If you're not living together, you're going to be talking with WhatsApp or on the phone or texting. So much is lost in that. There's no body, physicality in there. So lots of misunderstandings come up. And I've seen cases where the marriage gets destroyed before it's even properly started. But sometimes you have to do it. If you can avoid it, avoid it. Get married and bismillah. But if you can't help it for some reason, then inshallah, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not against the sunnah or something. It can be done. But it's a bit torturous, I think.
Follow up question.
Yeah.
So what is the philosophy of, you know, for a man who is kind of an arranged marriage for us? So how do a man, you know, get to know their women?
Which culture is that?
Sorry?
Which culture is that?
So I come from Afghanistan. Now, we look at engagement periods like that for them to get to know each other. I'm not sure if that's maybe... You know,
I see. Yeah, I can't even say that that's all through Afghanistan. That might be in certain groups in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Oh,
nikah is done. Oh, then it's cool then. Okay. No, then it's all cool. Yeah, where are you from in Afghanistan? Khushal Khan or where? I was there 3 years ago. So that's why. MashaAllah, bisyar khub. It's amazing. You don't get any shir yach here. Well, I think you do somewhere. It's outside, I think. Yeah. Okay, let's get back to Scotland. I was taken to Afghanistan for a month. He's got a question. So, if the nikah has been done, then you can do whatever you want. I came across one Gujarati got married to a Bangladeshi. Nikah ho gaya. But the father of the guy is prohibiting them from seeing one another. And she's like, the guy's my husband. Yes, ruksati nahi hui thi. But they can't even see. They can't spend a night anywhere. I was like, man, the guy can't do that now. To his son. He's doing that to his son. Forget the daughter. And the woman is like, I said, this is completely wrong. He just didn't want them to have a child yet. But you can't control that. You then nikah, mashallah, everything is allowed. Right? So, how this idea of arranged marriages, right? The way I believe you should do things, keeping the Islamic aspect in, right? If you've done nikah, then everything is allowed. And then you can date, you can do whatever you want. It's all halal afterwards. But if you haven't had a marriage yet, I just got a call 3 days ago that my son has just got fixed with this woman, not married yet, just fixed. And she is going away to study for like 6 months or whatever, and the family is saying that he must help her buy the furniture and all of that. I said, what are you talking about? They're not even married yet. They're strangers. You've just agreed to marry at a later date. That's when they're going to be husband and wife. They're already trying to impose like on you, and they're not even giving you the girl yet. Do nikah, because a man only has to spend on his wife when he has her in his house. If they're living separately, he's not obliged. His expenses that he takes care of is for having her in his company. That's essentially what the fiqh is. So now the thing is that a lot of people think that, how do I get to know this person before marriage? Because you're not allowed to date. So the simple thing is this, there's an element of trust in Allah, but there's also a rational element, which is that before you get married to anyone, in fact, before you even go to see them, let's just say you've identified somebody to marry, before you even go to see them, find out everything you can about them that you can without seeing them. Okay? From common friends, family members, how is she, how's the family, all of that. Do some inquiry without hiring an investigator. But, do as much as you can. Then ask to see them. And then have a discussion. And if you like, bismillah, you've already done your research. What I don't like is somebody goes to see a girl without any research, and then he finds out something he could have easily found out before that's negative, and he says, no, you're breaking hearts. Don't do that. I've seen this work where you just check everything out, then you go to see them, alhamdulillah, it all checks out now physically and whatever you want, bismillah. In the time that I got married, we didn't even speak to our wife. And that was only, 30 years ago. I did not speak to my wife before I got married. But I was quite satisfied. Right? I did not speak to her because that wasn't the culture at the time. Nowadays I say you should talk because you see, before women knew what their job was, now women have their own careers. Women did not go to university before. Now you better find out if the woman you're going to marry wants to have children. She might say, no, I've got career, man. I need 5 years. No, I need 10 years before I get children. I want to get children when I was 30. Man, you have an expiry date. Okay, you need to get on this ladder quickly. Subhanallah. So nowadays it's important to talk so you know what you both want. So you find out everything you can, and then you make istikhara, and then say yes or no. And then if you've done it right, the other learning phase starts after you start getting married. Otherwise, what happens is, you hook up with somebody, everybody's got a defect, you're going to figure out their defect, you're going to say no, you're going to start on the next one. And it's going to take you many circles until you find the right one. But If there's a tradition where they make you do nikah first and then after that you can just get to know one another before you actually move in with one another, I think that's all right. Yes, go ahead.
One question.
Yes. Yeah, if anybody has a question in between, that's fine. Yeah, there and there.
What's the Islamic way when someone's looking for a rishta, they do ask friends and family members. People, they do hide.
They what?
Hide facts. Is anybody, is there anything with boy, anything with girl?
Yes, yes.
They hide all
that. They hide all of that.
And what will happen? Those things will come up later when
they definitely come out.
What will they say? Yeah, it's a ghibat. I don't want you to be a ghibat.
Tell them this is halal ghibat.
Yeah.
This is halal ghibat. Yeah.
I'm asking this because so many people are listening. So if you can please tell them.
Yeah. Okay, so listen, if somebody comes to you that, do you know about this guy or this girl? You are responsible for revealing in a measured way anything relevant to marriage, not his whole life history. And start telling like, oh yeah, I knew them from when they were young and they did this wrong and that. No, only that which is specifically related to marriage in an objective way. Isn't it al-mustashar, al-mustashar mu'tamanun, the Prophet said. The one jisko mashwara pucha jaye, who the one who is consulted is in a place of trust to give the right decision.
Because I know a family, they go married, and later on, they find out.
Because if you conceal it, if you conceal it, it's like, is gari ke engine mein problem hai. Right, there's a problem with the engine, but you warm up the car before the guy comes to, and he, mashallah, is very smooth, and then he takes, next morning he's going to swear at you. Same thing happens in marriages. Parents are concealing. Now, you don't have to reveal everything, but if there's something which is going to come up and it's not, because maybe she was into someone, he was into someone, and now they're just getting them married. That flame may still be alight, and they're going to have problems in their marriage. So sort it out first. Be honest about this. Otherwise, you're just messing it up for your daughter and your son and the other person. You don't have to reveal everything. Sins can't be revealed. Do you understand? But you do need to be cautious in the way you do things. Haji. Sorry? Yes, yes, yes.
And I know that this can be misused,
right? Yeah, that's a bigger question. If I understand your question, that if somebody designs an app with the best intentions, enough measures in place to keep it halal, and majority of people use it halal and some people use it haram, we're not responsible for that because we did not design it for that. Okay, that if it's not about marriage, don't ask. Because there's other questions. We can talk about that later. Yes, brother.
What are the top three qualities or attributes that boy should look for? And then same question for the
girl. Yeah, so that's a good question. What are the top three qualities that the guy should look for in a girl and a girl should look for in a guy? I've got some points in the book that I can't fully remember, but let's open it up to the crowd. At least we've got the guys here. What do you think are the top three qualities you should look for in a woman?
Character.
Number one?
Character.
That is number one.
Morality.
Character, definitely number one. Number two?
Morality.
Number three?
Deen.
The deen. That's the character. I think that is the character. That's the character issue. The beauty, yeah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, women are married for four reasons. Multiple reasons, but four main reasons. Her beauty, her family, genetics, right? Because if you get good genetics, they're going to come in your child, right? Inshallah, that's your nasab. And then your wealth. So if my wife is wealthy, alhamdulillah, maybe she'll give me some good gifts. I can't force her to, you know, spend in the house, but hopefully she'll give me a good gift. She'll buy me like some expensive watches or something. Or take me on holiday, right? And if nothing else, then at least my children will inherit. Nothing wrong with that. But I can't be the main focus. And number four, he said the deen. In the deen, what is the process I'm talking about? The namaz? I don't think so. Namaz is taken into consideration, but the main aspect of the deen is akhlaq, because that's what you really need. And the Prophet said himself, he said, I am the best of you to my wives, and I am the best of character. Akhlaq is what's going to keep any relationship going. Okay. Now, from a woman's side, I would say what they want in a man is somebody who looks after them. Very important. Women want looking after. Caring, pampering, somebody who understands them, somebody who will bring them some flowers once in a while. Not the same old ones, but you know, good flowers. And who look after them. Very important. If the husband tells them that you are beautiful, you look wonderful, you make me so happy, believe me, your wife will be amazing. They need, especially our religious women who don't flaunt themselves outside, they need that validation from someone. And men just sometimes don't give enough praise. You have to give the praise. MashaAllah, you are 50 years old now, and SubhanAllah, you still like amaze me. Don't make it up, because if you're saying something afterwards, they're going to figure it out. Like, be genuine in your praise. There must be praiseworthy aspects, praise. So I think that really, the food and everything, they love praise. MashaAllah. But don't overdo it. Don't sound like some guy who just overpraising. Okay. And anything else?
It is more right to have her own house.
Ji?
Sorry.
Is it what?
It is woman's right to have...
Absolutely. No, it's a woman's right to have her own accommodation. It doesn't have to be a full house or a full flat in Pollock Shields.
But what happens to our culture is totally different.
What's that?
Like, when you are asking, we get, while you are married, you will look after my parents.
Then nothing. Yeah, yeah, I know.
If we live in the same house, brothers, sisters... A woman came from the
yeah, that doesn't work anymore. Oh, Pakistan mein chal jata tha. Because it was all open. Here, man, you're miserable weather. Now, how are you going to live in one house? You're going to like eat everybody else's brain out, right? Let's go back to the first question. Is a wife entitled to her own accommodation? Yes, see, in the Hanafi madhab, she has to be given her own bedroom, living quarters, kitchen place, and bathroom. Now, that doesn't have to be a separate house. It could be an apartment in a larger house that is private for them. Samajhmaya? That nobody else goes into. Like if you don't have the money, you can just have like one floor for them. That would justify it. Doesn't that? Unless they constantly harassing her. That's the obligation. Bus. If they want to live together, alhamdulillah. But that is their obligation, yes. So that's the answer to that question. Yes, there was a hand up here, then we move to the back, yes. Yeah. I don't like those kind of questions. I just find it too difficult to think like that. Like what are the top three things? Just ask me a specific question with a specific issue and I'll try to answer that. I'm not very good at that. What's your favorite hadith? I just can't deal with those kind of questions. I'm abnormal in that sense. Sorry about that. Rephrase it. Yes. Well, why did they get a spouse like that? One is religious and one is not. Just joking. Well, alhamdulillah. So what about it? Like, are you talking about as an outsider what we should go in and like sort it out? Who are you talking about? The religious guy or the non-religious person?
The religious guy,
because they want. Then they have to have patience. Number question I'm going to ask him, why did you get a non-religious? Chalo, maybe masti khor tha pehle. Now I've become Sufi. You know, main buzurg ban gaya abhi. You're going to have some patience. She's not going to change overnight. But inshallah, with your good character, aista aista, inshallah, she'll change. You have to have a lot of sabr. Yeah, there's a question at the back somewhere. Yeah. If you're what?
If you're linked to also the potential for marriage, and obviously, once you see them, they're not actually attracted to.
Okay. Okay, good. So if you're getting to know somebody for marriage and then, mashallah, everything kind of checks out, we'll be doctored here, maybe doctored who, you know, all the rest of it, and then suddenly you look at her and it's like, oh no. You depend about it the wrong way, man. When I say you need to know everything, you have to get some idea from a third person how they look, man. We might not be able to see them, but she decent. There's a woman who called me, and she said, my husband wants to divorce me. I said, why? I said, because I had a relationship like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, which I gave up and everything, and he wants to divorce me. I said, you've done tawbah? Yeah, completely, I'm out of it. He found out, and now he wants to divorce me. I said, that's very cruel, because people make mistakes, right? So, husband calls. So, why you want to divorce? He said, I don't want to divorce her for that reason. Why do you want to divorce her? I don't like the way she looks. Why did you get married to her? Because she had makeup on the day. So I go, tell her then. He goes, no, I don't want to hurt her feeling. I said, you're already hurting her feeling. It's even worse. Anybody she tells that you're divorcing her because of a prior relationship which she has done tawbah from, that's cruel. That's wrong, in fact. Just tell her nicely, look, you had makeup on. I'm not. You don't have to say you're ugly, even though you think so. But I'm not attracted to you. You're not my type. So be clear. That's why I tell women, don't go with masks on. Because you want to let them see you naturally. Otherwise, they're going to have to. You're not going to put makeup on 24/7, are you? Even at night time. So don't hide things like that. It doesn't help you in the long run. Nothing remains hidden between spouses afterwards. Okay? Yes. Yeah. La ilaha illallah. So the Prophet ﷺ, the way he divided the responsibility is Ali radiallahu anhu had all the outside responsibility and the earning responsibility, and Fatima radiallahu anhu, his wife, Prophet's daughter, had all the inside the home responsibility. That's the traditional thing in pretty much most Muslim cultures. However, now, mashallah, women are educated. Sometimes they're making more money than the husband. Technically speaking, the responsibilities are still the same. The man has to do the providing. If my wife is a millionaire, I can't charge her for anything. Yeah, if she wants to give me a gift, take me a holiday, bismillah. But I can't charge her for the normal living expenses and so on. However, that's the tradition. If a woman is going to work full time and she can't do the household chores, then who's going to do them? Is the husband going to do them? In some cases, and it becomes very lopsided here. I've seen cases where the wife is making the money, the guy is the stay-at-home dad. He's looking after the kids, he's doing all of that. Well, if that works for him, it's for him. But you know, even non-Muslim research shows that, forget not earning, if the wife is making more money than the husband, this is in a non-Muslim relationship, even not a marriage, even just boyfriend, girlfriend, the man is going to be psychologically impacted, that his manhood is going to be impacted. His libido is going to be impacted. That's how the Sharia, al-rijalu qawwamuna ala nisa, the way it's set up, that's fitrah. And if it goes against that fitrah, it affects you. It's on YouTube, check research on this. It's a very interesting idea. But as an obligation, even if my wife is a millionaire, I'm still responsible to pay. How much? What kind of standard? Husbands are responsible for food, living, and clothing. What quality? If my wife insists that we're only going to shop at Harrods and Selfridges, am I obliged? So that depends on what kind of family she comes from. If she comes from a family that, mashallah, they shop in those kind of places, then I cannot force her to go to Primark or Asda George. If you're going to have an elephant as a pet, you're going to have to feed it. Do you understand what I'm saying? People get these 5-liter engines and like, hey, the petrol is too expensive. Like, are you crazy? Why did you get a 5-liter engine for? So that's the Sharia, that you go, you have to look after her, because women have to be looked after. So if she comes from that, well, you better be ready. Unless she says, no, I'm going to be just, you know, normal, I'm going to be Amazon.com, you know, or whatever it is, then it's fine, alhamdulillah. Yes.
Yeah, husbands who are addicted to TV and mobiles after work, during family time, they spend their time individually, and when they're trying to have a conversation, it's just distancing. How do they approach it?
Yeah, I don't know how to sort that out. There's some husbands, they come home from work. I can understand they might spend half an hour on browsing. But if they're spending 3-4 hours browsing, they don't have a life. They got addiction. So it's very difficult for the wife to correct that, because it's going to see him as a nag. She's probably going to have to use some other ways to try to get him out of that. Maybe get something, do something exciting so that it's more exciting than the phone or something. If you're just going to keep saying, this is family time, you need to be with us, it usually only gets worse. There's no magic about this. You're just going to have to try to use different strategies to get through to him that, come on, give us some time. And if he's a loner kind of guy, then I feel sorry for you. There's some guys, they don't talk too much. Women like to talk. You can't force that guy to talk. He's not going to talk. It's just how he is. By nature, he's a very quiet person. You're going to have to find some other way to entertain yourselves together. They must have some other qualities. Because people don't change their nature easily, do they? Right? He should make an effort though. If I'm talking to him, I'll tell him, you better make an effort. But if I'm talking to the wife, I'm saying, look, there's not much you can do except try to get other people to assist to sort it out. Yeah.
Some children have found someone and the parents aren't agreeing. What are practical solutions?
Some children want to get married to someone but the parents aren't agreeing. So look, first you have to be practical about this. And if you think that you give yourself a certain time, 3 months, 6 months maybe maximum. In this 6 months, I'm going to do tahajjud prayer. I'm going to ask Allah. I'm going to give lots of sadaqah. I'm going to do extra khidmat of my parents. I'm going to give them manish every day, massages every day, so that they're going to let me marry this guy. And if it works out, alhamdulillah. If it doesn't, then go and find somebody else. Otherwise, what else are you going to do? So, because there could be reasons of why this, and I'm not here to judge that reason because I don't know the details, but that's what I would say. Give yourself a certain amount of time, try your best in that. If it works, alhamdulillah, otherwise don't, because this guy you're trying to marry, you don't even know the guy. He looks all cool, but he might dump you tomorrow, then, if your parents are going to disown you or parents are going to be upset with you, then what? Also, you know your parents. So some cases, some people say, I'm just going to marry him. Look, you know your parents better than anybody else. If they're stubborn people, I've seen some of them, they're not going to talk to you forever, then what's the point? You need your parents. And if you think that, no, they'll be upset for a bit, but then it'll be okay, inshallah, that's up to you to take that gamble. But try to find somebody that you and your parents like. It's a very difficult situation. There's no magic answer to it. You just do your best. Yes.
Certain cultures are very, very, very conservative, but they refuse to allow any sort of conversation between them. What's a practical way of thinking?
There's no practice. If there's nobody's going to allow you to talk and they're very conservative, then you're just going to do tawakkalna ala Allah and find out everything else you can and bismillah. There's no magic about it unless you go behind their backs, which you can if you want to, just to talk. But then you might go down a slippery slope and get somewhere worse. So, yes. Any other questions?
If when your kids are preaching, how would you start preparing them for?
You just talk to them and say, "Look, how do you prepare your children?" So you just talk to them and say, look, you're going to get, you know, we're going to think of getting you married in the next 2 years. What do you think you're looking for? What kind of person would you like? Get an idea from them. And if you think that they've got some weird radical ideas, then try to sort it out. Otherwise, work with that. And then when the time comes, I would say, look, from some experience that I've had, with sons you can wait a bit longer. But with girls, after their age of marriage, like after they're 18, 19, if a right guy comes along, try to get them married. Why? Because the longer you leave it, all the good guys get taken. And then after that, it becomes more difficult. Especially with girls. It's just the difference. There's just the difference. With guys, it's easier.
But with girls, it's more difficult. So that's what I've, number one. And also when it comes to girls and boys, when they get that age for marriage, they need to prepare for marriage. So many people will teach their daughters how to cook, but they don't teach their sons how to look after a house. In fact, what they do is they allow their sons to just be focused on education. They don't even know how to make their own bed. It's really sad. Many young men don't know how to make their beds. They're very lazy. Okay? So we need to teach them how to pay a bill. We need to teach them how to host someone. How to fix a leaky, how to fix a broken plug. It's basic stuff like that. And girls, they need to know how to cook. Very important. I see profiles. I love baking. I say, great, I love cakes. Okay, but I want food first. Man, you don't know how to cook and you're all baking all day long? My suggestion to women is that learn how to cook at least 10 of your traditional dishes before you get married. There's one woman I know, she's like, I don't need to learn how to cook. I said, why? She goes, I got one friend, her husband cooks. Another one, his mother-in-law cooks. Another one, they just buy food. They just eat out. MashaAllah. What's the possibility that you're going to have a mother-in-law who's just going to cook and expect you not to cook forever and she's going to stay alive until you die? And, oh, your husband's just going to cook and mashallah, he's not going to worry, he's just going to cook for you all day. Or that you just, things are getting expensive. You know how much it costs to eat out now, right? And then she got married. So then I said to her, did you get a mother-in-law cooks for you all the time or your husband cooks or whatever? She's like, look, I understand. These are just realities of life. These are just realities of life. Cooking is very important. You need to know how to cook. And men need to know how to earn some money, man. They need to know how to lead. They need to understand how to make certain decisions. Yes?
Also, the middle class clothes, just if things bring characters, if it's okay, then the issue is hijab.
Then it's not okay. If hijab is, so basically you're saying that, but the deen is not okay. If they don't wear hijab, that's not the deen. So that's a problem right there, right? But I know what you mean. So she seems to be fine otherwise, but she doesn't wear hijab. Now, how important is hijab for you? If hijab is important, then make sure you find somebody with hijab. Unless you talk about it and she says, I'm willing, I'm going to start. Because otherwise, you're just going to be, there's going to be that nagging in your mind. When I first was going to buy a car, I found two cars, two Toyota Corollas. One was a newer car, but didn't have AC. The other one was an older one but had AC. So I go to a friend of mine, I say, why don't I just buy both? Take the AC from you, put it in that one so I get the best of both worlds and sell the rest of this. He goes, no, you can't do that. Just get one with an AC. Yeah, if it's a minor issue, it's a, but hijab is a big issue. That is the deen. But mashallah, there are many women who, if you talk to them and they're like, that's a condition of my marriage, and they're genuinely willing, and you can tell that, then it should be okay. But if you're like, oh, I'll try, then you may never try, and then you're just going to be on a case, and it's going to be, I wouldn't suggest it. There's probably other hijabis out there. You know.
Most of the question, this is a simple comment.
Ji.
Most of the books available in the UK, written by Islam scholars or the narrative like,
yeah.
They are mainly from men, alma,
yeah. There are women. I don't know about females. There is one written by. There are two books on marriage written by a female counselor. I just forget her name, right? But as I said to you, I had 20 people read my book. Majority of them, I got women to read it and give me their feedback. Then I got some women reviewers. I got at least two women reviewers to review the book as well. Read my book, inshallah. I'm not saying it's the most amazing book out there, but it's. I've tried to balance it between the two. But yes, we do need more women to do that. I agree with you. I agree with you. How long do I have left? Or is my time up? I just didn't want to cut you guys short. This was a program Maulana has been asking for the last several months. So I thought, let me give you all the time you wanted.
and hopefully it's been beneficial. Why do I do this? It's quite heavy to do this because the bayan, and then you have to listen to questions and try to answer all of these questions and try to get it right as well. Allah assist us and help us. If one person's marriage can be enhanced, then inshallah, that's how the community will prosper. Because communities are built on individual families. If the family is wrecked and there's fires in our homes, then you're going to have a fire in the entire ummah. I want it that we understand, because we in a new situation where new challenges and so on, changing times, and people just don't know what it means to be married, what marriage means. So I'm just here to try to be as practical as possible in the light of the Sharia to try to make it work. So if you have any questions beyond this, sisters, or I have a public number on zamzamacademy.com, on zamzamacademy.com, on the contact us page. So call me at any decent time if you've got a private issue. Okay? Also, I've got about 20 lectures on different aspects about marriage and bringing up children on the website, on Zamzam Academy, that you can go and listen to. And because there's only so much we can cover here in a setup like this. So keep us in your du'as. Allah reward Maulana who really wanted this topic, and Allah reward everybody for sitting here and for the questions that you have asked. And inshallah, our marriages, because this marriage that we have is the thing which is going to last forever. Who are you with in paradise? If we get to Jannah, who are you with? Your mom and dad? Your children? No, you're going to be with your spouse. If that's a bad news for somebody, I'm sorry. And I got a woman who called me. She said, I heard that. I was like, I've been doing sabr until now for the sake of the children. And you're telling me Jannat mein bhi rehna padega. I said, look, you know when you're in Jannat, he's going to be a different guy. I know you can't even think about it right now, but in Jannah, if you are together, it's going to be amazing. Just trust Allah. Then hopefully I made her happy. You understand? But yeah, that's why this is a long game. It's a very long game. Don't try to win every small battle. A hadith that really helps me, if you have an issue, Al-badi'u bis-salami bari'un min al-qibla. Let's say we had a bit of an issue. Prophet said that the one who starts with the salam is the one free of pride. So now I think, you know what? Then just do salam. And number two is the one who abandons an argument, even if they're wrong, gets a place in the outskirts of paradise. Prophet said that. Even if you're wrong in your argument, it's like, oh, no. So you'll still get. And if you are right and you give up an argument, you get a place in the middle of paradise. That hadith helps me a lot when I have a little issue. It's like, chalo, jannat mein kuch milega. Understand? But you do have to deal with the issues. Jazakallah khair, Allah ta'ala khair farmai. Allah khair farmai. Allah ta'ala enhance everybody's marriage here. Remove our own issues. And Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. And those who are not married, ya Allah, grant them all righteous, pious spouses. InshaAllah. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
So Jazakallah to Mufti Saab for coming. I know we had numerous questions and we never managed to get through all of them, but we are on a tight schedule, and for the remaining questions that people do have, I will send out the number for people to ask. But again, we thank Mufti Saab, but on such short notice Mufti Saab came and he delivered a full lecture and beyond the time also. We thank Mufti Saab. Jazakallah. Sorry, still upstairs.
My mom is an actor.